You know, it's good to be here with you. And God is so amazing, isn't he? And life is astounding. You look around and everywhere you look, there's life on this blue jewel that's circling around in the vastness of space. And we look around at other planets. So far, we haven't seen evidence of that. But here on this special place where we're at, where God has placed us, life is everywhere. And it's amazing. You know, even our own bodies are full of life. I hope this doesn't disgust you, you know, but we are covered and filled with microbes, trillions of them, of all different kinds that are inside us and all over us, and they are actually a part of who we are. We couldn't live without them, the bacteria and fungi, and, you know, so we represent that diversity of life fought over the last months by life growing in an unlikely place right outside of our sanctuary. I don't know if you can see that, but up on the wire, and we can look a little closer. That's Tillandsia, let's see, what is it? Tillandsia recurvata. I thought I had that down. I'm not a botanist, you know, I have Wikipedia. But that little ball moss, as it's commonly called, is growing right there on the wire. And how does it do that? You know, I guess it turns out that this thing is not a parasite. Obviously, it can't be living off the wire. Those of you who are gardeners, don't fear this plant. It's not a parasite that's eating up your trees if you've got them in your trees. It's just hanging on and finding life out of the very air, the dust that comes up, the humidity from South Texas, and that Tillandsia recurvata is just having a ball up there on that wire, and it lives, and it's in its element, and it's amazing how God can do that. You know, the last time I came was and shared with you was about a year ago, and that was just as we were getting ready for our North American Hispanic Friends Conference, which was in northeastern Ohio. It was a combined conference. We had Latin American friends pastors from all over the Americas, hundreds, celebrating. And I shared with you the theme of that conference, and that came out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, so then, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5, for what we preach, is Paul sharing, what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. He wanted to make it clear that the role of the Christian leader was to serve, and really every Christian. I was glad to hear what Glenda was sharing about how friends have been active in so many ways as servants in the world and bringing Christ's light into dark places. That is our calling. And so we had a great time of celebration in that conference and encouraging those pastors and leaders to take to their own communities the idea that we could serve one another as we are serving God. This time, as I'm sharing with you, not coincidentally, we're coming up on another North American Hispanic Friends Conference, which is going to be held just right up the road from here, just outside of Kima in a little town called Baycliff, where the Bayshore Friends Church is. And the message that I would share with you is the theme of the conference. Last year, I encouraged you to say, siempre siervos. Always servants. And some of you got pretty good at that. That was fun. This year, the theme of the conference is Arraigados en Cristo. And I don't even want to hear you say it. This one's too hard. But Arraigados en Cristo, and that means rooted in Christ. And that comes out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, where Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I can put up the Spanish as well, just so you can fact check me. Here it is, arraigados en Cristo. And I know that we're mixing metaphors. Well, Paul is. He's mixing metaphors a little bit when he talks about being rooted, which is the function of a plant putting down its roots into the soil or into that wire out there, and what it is to be built up as a building. I'll talk a little more about that, but I hope that doesn't bother you too much. I know my English teacher in high school had a real problem with that. I'd become a Christian in junior high and high school and spent a lot of time reading the Word. And you know, you get all these metaphors, all these images of what Christ, who Christ is and what the kingdom of God is, the way, the truth, the life, the light, the salt, the vine. I think we saw this morning the cornerstone, the rock, and he's the lamb, and we got all these things. And so I told my English teacher, I said, you know, all these things, they have meaning, and you know, that's the way God talks. And I said, it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me, right? And she thought that was okay, but it didn't improve my grade at all. But that's the way Paul talks. That's the way we see in Scripture many of the representations of who Jesus is, mixing metaphors but communicating truths that we can apply through our own lives. Now, as you notice in these verses here, when he's talking, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, he's talking to Christians, those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have made him Lord, which means master, owner of their lives. He's talking to those of us who walk in that way. And what he's sharing with us is that our environment, as we have received Jesus Christ, is to remain and draw from Jesus Christ. That ball moss has its own environment, and it's able to live in that context. We as Christians have our own environment, and we are able to draw what we need from the matrix that God has placed us in. And that is Jesus Christ himself. The root is the life of the plant. One of the things that Paul is saying to those who are Christians, and one of the things that I want to highlight for you today as Christians, is that we need to continually draw from the life that comes from Jesus himself. Our mind, our heart, our life draw their substance and sustenance from Jesus himself. And part of the purpose of the conference that's coming up is to simply call one another to understand and recognize this simple truth, the basic reality that we live and we only have life as we draw it from the depths of Jesus' life. Separated from him, we have nothing on our own. Jesus made a similar analogy when he talked about the vine and the branches in chapter 15 of John. And he talked in that analogy, he said, remain in me, and I also, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Abide is the King James word that's used there for remaining in. As the branch must remain in the, abide in the vine, the roots must abide in the soil to draw its nutrients and moisture. A Christian draws our life from Jesus. We become aware of his presence, who he is, how he interacts with us on a daily basis. We become open to his leading as we are drawing that life. We are soaking in his word and his truth. And all of those things combine to nourish and sustain us. We receive from his substance and his power. But another part of what the conference is about in this next month, October 10th through 13th, I'll let you know, remind you of that because you can be also be a part of that, is about what the biblical understanding is of what the church is. And the church is, we who are followers, we who are believers, the church is the body of Christ. And so if Paul is saying for us to be rooted in Christ, in a sense, we are rooted in each other, in the work that God is doing in your life. I receive nourishment. I receive sustenance. In the work that God is doing in my life, you can receive encouragement and power to live for Jesus. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why you should be a part of this conference that's coming up. As many of you have, we've already been sharing in terms of missions and in terms of the possibilities of coming together in groups of eight for meals. This also is another opportunity to experience the breadth and power of the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, I heard a pastor speaking at some yearly meeting sessions in Spanish, a pastor out of Mexico City, Ramiro Martinez, talking about how this passage reflects the great revelation of the kingdom of God and what that means for all of us and for the worship of God. And I'll just read this passage. It says, after this, and imagine, put yourself in this location before the throne of God. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language. Standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Wow, what a day that will be. What a day from every tribe and language and nation. Maybe we should practice that. You want to say that together? Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The salvation is his, that he's worked in the world and he's worked in our lives. And he is to be praised and glorified by all nations and all people because of that. And I think there's a sense that each one of us imagines that, oh, well, finally on that day, all this diversity will disappear. We will all be finally one. We will all be together proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," when really many will be proclaiming, "Santo, santo, santo es el Señor Todopoderoso." Every language, every nation, every people. And what Ramiro Martinez shared with us was that no, it's not that the differences disappear. It's that God's worship is not complete without having all the nations involved in that worship. Each culture, each people, each language expresses the glory and the reality of God in unique ways that will not be complete without the rest of the expression of the body of Christ. Wow, that's powerful to me. And that means that as we have those mission experiences, as we go across cultural barriers as Christians and interact with other Christians from other areas, we learn things about who God is and what he would do in us and in the world that we would never know otherwise. is a group of Bhutanese Nepali friends coming down to visit the other area friends' churches. They're up in Fort Worth. They want to come down here. They want to meet with some of the church leaders among friends in South Texas. And they want to have prayer for our ministries here in this area. I asked that pastor one time, well, what is it that is the secret of your success for church growth? Because they've been growing like crazy over the last few years. They've up to about 130 in just that short length of time. And he said, well, we come home from work and we gather together and we pray. In the morning, first thing, we're starting to pray together. And then we fast on weekends, and we pray together in our group meetings, and then we're fasting. And, you know, I guess it's prayer and fasting, he said, drawing strength, setting our roots deep in the Spirit of God, drawing from Him to grow the plant that would bear fruit in the world. And when this conference takes place, October 10th through the 13th, you can rub shoulders with some great servants of God from all over Latin America. We've got people coming in from Central America and many of our Spanish-speaking friends, churches across the North American continent, from Toronto to Mexico City, and they'll be here sharing with each other and challenging with each other. And you can also get a sense of the power of God. You know, we can go on mission trips, and mission trips are transformational as people go out and experience the breadth of God's kingdom and His work in experience those in new ways. But you don't have to travel around the world to have that kind of cross-cultural mission experience. And next month you can have it right here. You can have some of those people in your homes. And so you saw in your bulletin there's a sheet there that has a sign-up form. You might want to sign up maybe just for one or two of these dozen of these Spanish leaders to stay in your home. And you will be blessed. You will learn. You will grow. Those overnight we're looking for overnight people for about 9:30 in the evening till 8 in the morning. So in the evenings and in the mornings, you'd have a little contact with those people. You might want to come together with some of your friends and prepare a meal and just fellowship over there in Bay Cliff with the friends who are going to be there. So there are opportunities, because as we get to know the body of Christ, we get to know who Jesus is. We learn things about Him. We set our roots down. And after the conference, the opportunities are not ended, because we have a couple of Spanish-speaking churches right here in the Houston area that are beginning to grow. And we are looking for teams of people who will accompany them in prayer. Right now, they're just small groups, about 9, 15, just getting started. And we want to have 100 people praying for them on a regular basis. You can be a part of that and get to know their ministries as well. So there's a sense that we draw our nourishment from Jesus Christ, the thing that sustained us, the thing that sustains the plant. Beyond that, there's also the power of the root to hang on in unlikely places or in adverse circumstances. The firmness, the permanence that comes as we are drawing our strength from Jesus Christ, we are forming a trusting relationship with Him. We grow to trust Him more and more. And then our relationship becomes becomes stronger, firm, we're able to withstand attacks from the outside, disappointments from within. We're able to move forward in spite of the difficulties that come our way. We learn, as Paul talks about here, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. We learn to know what is true and what is right as we're dwelling in him. Doctrine, which is not just what we believe, but it's what we can know about who God is and what his work is in the world. God's saving power, his ability to make a difference in our lives, our need of him, and the better we know him, the stronger we can resist the currents that flow against his work. There is one other thing that I might mention just briefly, that this analogy, and I'm not sure Paul had this in mind when he was talking about being rooted in Christ, but one of the realities of a root is that you don't really see it. You know that even that ball moss has roots. And every, you know, most every plant has those roots that go down into the soil. And you don't, unless you're talking about potatoes or carrots, maybe onions, you know, you don't really plant the plant for the root. You look at we see the exterior of the plant and the flowers and the fruit that come out of the plant. And I think there's some truth that is true for us spiritually as well. Just as the root is the unseen part of the plant, there's an unseen part of our lives that is indispensable for us to produce fruit and a good and healthy life in the world. If we were to live all in the active doing of life, we would soon wither up. We need that secret fellowship with the living and all-powerful God. Paul talks about this a little bit in Colossians chapter 3, just the chapter beyond, where he says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What a comfort. We have that sustenance. We have that secret place where we can live and where we can be sustained. So, go life. Go life. Live in your environment. And your environment, friends, as Christians, is in Jesus Christ. So that little ball will hang there until the electric company comes and clears it away, I suppose. But we can live forever in that life which comes from Jesus Christ. As Christians, we can put our roots down deeply into God and draw our strength from him, so that the fruit that comes out of our lives reflects the beauty of the life that he is working in the world. Arraigados en Cristo, rooted in Christ. Would you stand with me and let's pray? Father God, I pray for each and every person that's gathered here this morning that you would remind us of the joy that it is to fellowship with you. Allow us to drink of your Spirit. Allow us to receive from you and accept no substitute for the life that only you can give. As we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, allow us to live in that life and be sustained by that life throughout this day and in the years to come for eternity. Lord, let us be yours. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.